Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. On Book Spectrum, we talk with new and seasoned authors from various professions across the spectrum. With me is someone who tells her story of abuse inside an arranged marriage and a culture where simply saying not supportive of her while in such a situation is a vast understatement. In her memoir, Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul, Mia O'Day describes what she went through, how she managed to escape with her baby and pick up her life from homelessness to independence and stability. Mia O'Day, welcome to Book Spectrum.
Good morning, Chris. How are you? And thank you for having me.
Your story is a difficult one, but very inspirational and important to tell, Mia. Your book chronicles the difficult journey you had in your life, unfortunately centered around an abusive arranged marriage while you were a teenager in Palestine. Most of our audience is located in English-speaking secular government countries, and we really don't have the same perspective or understanding about arranged marriages in nations like many of those in parts of Asia or the Middle East. How do families negotiate such things?
Well, definitely they do not involve the bride in the negotiation. It just basically goes between like the husband-to-be and his family, and the wife-to-be is the last one to really kind of have a say, if not.
What you're saying is the daughter just has no idea sometimes. She could wake up one morning and the parents could tell her, you're getting married next month.
Yes, basically they come and visit the family. The family have an idea of like they're coming. And then when the family of the husband show up, they will introduce the girl and the husband will look at her, decide, you know, if it will fit for him, if he like what he sees or not. And then they will kind of, after that, will decide between her family and him and his family if they are really willing to go with the marriage. The girl doesn't have really a say. And it does happen very often back where I come from. Not in every family. It does happen quite often, though.
What you're saying is, I want to make this clear, you get vetted by the family and the potential husband. They check you out and find out if you're desirable for him. You wound up being married to a terribly abusive husband, but again, chosen for you. Is there any way parents of women in your part of Palestine at the time do any due diligence on the people their daughters are marrying?
It doesn't matter how much she reaches out for her family for help. It is a done deal. In some families, it's a done deal. It does not matter how the husband is abusive and how he treats their daughter. Divorce is really not very well accepted in like a lot of the families. So the girls have to accept the situation. It's her husband. They look at it, that's your husband. He's superior of you and you have to accept his abuse.
Mia, I guess the question was really, as the husband's family vets you, as in checks you out, what about the daughter's family? Are there any means or ways or do they actually do any kind of vetting, if you will, of the husband? I understand divorce isn't generally in the vocabulary, if you will, or the accepted vocabulary, and I'm exaggerating the point, but I'm kind of conveying what you said to me just a few moments ago. What kept you going in the middle of the darkest days of your marriage?
My children. I absolutely love my children. During the marriage, and I look at their faces, and I know that they had to witness the verbal abuse, they hear the sexual abuse, the physical abuse. Breaks my heart to really see them, witness that. I worry about them. And it's heartbreaking that, you know, as you're their mom getting abused, they can hear that. And you're helpless at that time. You really can't do nothing. But for the sake of your kids, you got to do something.
And it seems the kids would learn that that's how women get treated in real life when they get older.
It is definitely a fear. I thought of that as like on some certain days when you have like a little better clear thought, you worry because you don't want your kids to treat other women like that. That's definitely a thought.
Mia O'Day is my guest on Book Spectrum. We're talking about her book, Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul. It's her memoir. What inspired you to tell this story and make all that happened to you public knowledge, Mia?
What inspired me is I definitely, with my full heart, no woman and nobody should accept their situation of being abused or disrespected. Everybody is worthy of love, respect, and happiness, and nobody should accept their situation. Everybody and every woman out there that's going through the same situation, I understand some days are going to be hard and you can't really think straight. But on some days, when you hear that voice inside you that you deserve more. You got to listen to your heart and you got to go for it. You got to fight for your happiness. Do not accept anybody abusing you.
It's easy to say, hey, you should just get up and leave, Mia. Or there are things that happen here. There are places to go. There is support here in the U.S. or maybe Britain or places like that. Let's talk about your culture, family, and attitudes towards women and marriages, Mia. While one feels one must respect their culture and the way family structures work, your book reveals there was no real support for you or any woman going through an abusive marriage. And you kind of touched on that in the answer to an earlier question. Let's expand on that.
Definitely there is no support. On my end, I did not get any support. When I decided to not accept my situation, I did not get support from my family. My sisters did not really count because their opinion, they're in the same situation as me. So it was really up to my brothers and my mom. So I definitely did not get any support. I went against all that because I did not want to live my whole life like that. I wanted a better life for my kids and for me. And it's not easy. It's not easy to really do it. It takes a lot of thinking and it takes a lot of courage to really actually take the first step. Even if you don't know where you're going, at least take the first step. And from there, one day at a time.
What about other women going through the same thing in Palestine or similar nations? Is there any way some of you try and communicate or support each other, even in secret if you have to?
Definitely when you talk to them, you know, one-on-one, it helps. But when they get back to their home and under the control of their husband, it goes back to the way it was. It's really hard to get them out of that situation. They don't have the opportunities that you could have here in America. I lived it over there. And when I was there, I definitely was not able to really even reach out and talk, not even to my family. There is nobody would really listen to you. You're a female. That's your husband. You're his wife. You have to accept the situation. And it relieves a little bit, but it will go back once you go back home under his control.
Your husband moved you and your family to the U.S., a vastly different culture with different attitudes than your own. Didn't he know he'd run the risk of maybe you finding a network or maybe starting to think more independently as there are more opportunities and channels for women to talk with each other and find things out that are going on in the world, basically?
I do not think he really thought that far of that because he knows the culture where I came from. He kind of picked up on me like I'm the very quiet woman that I would obey whatever he says. And he knows that if I get out of line, he can get back to my family to get me back in line to where he wants me to be. So I do not think he really thought that far that I could be able to reach for resource. And he counted on that she's not familiar with the American culture, so she doesn't know that it's different here. Even when we moved here to America, he still kept me as a housewife. You have to check with him on everything.
We're talking to Mia O'Day. Her book is Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul. Mia, you described this in the book, but what was the turning point when you decided you had to leave? You had to get it done.
It's that voice inside you that just said, I had enough. I cannot take it anymore. It will describe a little bit further and it elaborates in the book. But everybody had a breaking point. You get to a point where you cannot take it anymore. You just can't go on. And my kids were going through a really, really rough time. Between them, you know, they just came to America and they have to witness that and get adjusted to the culture and see everything else that they were witnessing. And I just had that breaking point. Everybody gets a breaking point where you say, I just cannot take it anymore.
Again, to put it in perspective, it probably was a lot easier to do this in America. I'm assuming, and again, I'm sitting here from a studio in America. This is my culture. This is what I know. But I'm going to go out on a proverbial limb and say, you probably couldn't do this. You probably wouldn't be able to leave or be a lot more dangerous to do so in Palestine.
Definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to be where I am if I was still there. Definitely, I wouldn't be able to leave.
But it still wasn't going to be easy.
If you leave, they would bring you back. Like, you cannot go to work. You cannot go rent your own place. You go to your family, but your family is on his side. So they will bring you back, and it'll be even more difficult for you.
People in the first world really don't know what's going on in other areas. We have people worried about what bathrooms to use over here and whether people are getting offended over certain pronouns, but they don't realize people really have it hard and are in terrible situations like you were in Palestine. Back to America, though, once you were able to leave your abusive husband, you knew it wasn't going to be easy either way, even in America.
No. No, definitely. It's hard to really kind of, in my situation, realize what's ahead because you were cooped up. You were in like jail your whole life. All you know is what's inside. So it was not really easy for me to kind of think, okay, I am going to go first take this step, rent a home, get an apartment, get a job. I did not really think of that. I just thought, okay, I'm gone. I'm not there. Okay, what do I do next?
Life was still challenging after you did this for a long time for you, Mia. This includes a period of time which you were homeless and pregnant. How were you eventually able to gain both independence and stability, or at least start that?
Well, I have that mentality, and I grew up with that. I learned that a lot from my father. I'm not shy to go ask for help, because if you don't approach people and ask, and it's not easy to go ask, I've experienced that. It's like, how do I do it? But if you don't, you're not going to know what's out there for you. It's okay to go reach for help. Ask that person. If they cannot help you, they might refer you to someone else that can help you. And you have to create communication and connection with everybody in the community. You may never know when you're going to untap potentials and opportunities that will help your situation and your kids if you have any.
Mia O'Day is with me on Book Spectrum. Once again, her book is Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul. She tells quite the story of escaping a horrific time of being inside an abusive marriage, an arranged one, in her own culture in Palestine, and of course moving to America. After a lifetime of abuse and uncertainty, Mia, how do you move forward, or how did you move forward with optimism, hope, and enthusiasm about the future? I know you did what you had to do when life kept throwing obstacles at you along the way. How did you keep your optimism, your hope, and enthusiasm up?
Well, again, I have that mentality of just keep moving. You can't stop, because if you stop, there is no chance for growth or change.
At the end of the book, I don't like to give the ends away. I'm not a spoiler alert guy. I don't even like saying spoiler alert. The fact is, though, at the end of your book, you shared a list of goals that you wrote in 2019. Some of these you've already accomplished, but what's left on that list?
Well, one of the ones that I've been working on for a long time, but I kind of kept setting it aside because I had to balance between, you know, my family and working and providing. It is finishing my college. I was working on an associate degree in criminal justice, and I started it a long time ago, but I'm still working on it. I am almost there, though. That's definitely one of the goals that I want to accomplish. Hopefully it'll be done soon. And I want to learn a lot. There's a lot out there that I could learn in business and in other aspects. There is so much to learn, and I am very ready. There's nothing specific. The graduation is definitely. I do want to get involved in volunteering in shelters, helping out women in domestic abuse situation. Be present in the community and raise awareness and change for other women that are in similar situations as me.
Mia, your children have been with you throughout your journey, and we didn't talk about them quite yet. How did they deal with what was going on with you, what they heard? I know you touched on that slightly before. How did they adjust to the new life after you left your husband?
It definitely took them a long time. For them to, like I said, to adjust to life over here, to adjust to a life that, you know, being homeless and to keep going with their school and homework and have to deal with their teachers and answer questions like normal, like nothing happened. It's definitely not easy for them. But they're tough and they are very good kids. They definitely adjusted. At a time, everybody took it differently from one to another. There is five of them that came to the country here with me. And they did deal very well with the circumstances. I am very proud of them for sure.
How are they doing now?
They're doing really good. They're very hardworking young men and young ladies, and everybody got their own career. I got two more that are working on their career, but they're doing fantastic. I'm very grateful.
Mia, after all you've been through, overcame, and accomplished, you describe in your book your continued feelings of insecurity. What still makes you feel this way, and how do you keep battling it?
I'm going to say again, my kids, I am, like, everything I accomplish, I always have my kids right on top of the list. They give me so much hope, and they encourage me. They've been by my side since day one, and we work on things together in every way. We sit, we talk, we discuss everything, and definitely I know that they're heart and soul in everything, and that's what keeps me going, my kids.
If you don't mind my asking, how did you adjust after your marriage and going through pretty much only knowing an abusive husband from teenage years on, meeting other people here, whether it be dating or friendships in the U.S. after leaving your husband?
I struggled a lot. It was hard for me because I have to get adjusted to the new life without him, to a working life, having my own place and handling the kids, other like outside situations, because he used to do that and he did not teach me. So I have to learn all that. When it comes to friendship, it took me a while. I'm an open person, outgoing. I'm not shy to kind of talk and express my feelings, but I still struggled. I just didn't have like a lot of self-confidence to do it. I always felt like not good enough to talk. I was just raised that way. And not to mention me coming from a different country, and I was covered at that time early on with my divorce. So I definitely had a little backlash of me being from the Middle East.
And you did discuss this in the book, and you don't have to elaborate too much on it because I want people to read your Odyssey book, Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul. But what about your family? Did you get any support from them when you left your husband? And what's your relationship with your family like now?
I did not get support from my family at all. Nothing. I talked to one of my sisters. We kind of connected after 14 years. But when it comes to support, I did not get any support, no.
That's something that, again, I don't think a lot of people here relate to very well. I'm sure that's very cultural.
Well, I did not accept that they want me to do things their way. I already listened to them the first time, and it was just not a good arrangement. And I was not about to let them have control again to do it their way.
Mia, what do you hope readers will take away most from your story?
No matter what, on even your darkest days, do not accept abusive situation. It is not your fault that your partner abuses you. You deserve love and happiness and respect. Always, always get up and fight for your happiness. No one else is going to do it for you. Always look after yourself and your family.
Mia O'Day, thank you very much for being with us on Book Spectrum.
I do want to mention, about my kids, their accomplishment and their careers. My oldest son is a sheriff, and I have two other Marines, so a sheriff and two Marines. My daughter is studying to be a social worker. She graduated her bachelor's 4.0, and my other daughter is in college, and the youngest one is 14 years old, so it is definitely a family that I am grateful to God, considering the situation that they went through, moving about 15, 16 times throughout their lives, getting adjusted to different outcomes and situations, and they're definitely a blessing from God.
Once again, the book is Mia's Odyssey, Taking Back My Soul. You can find it on all digital outlets. You can also find a link to it on our website, bookspectrum.com. Once again, I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.